Hiya, welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 in the lounge for a wee cuppa, followed by our worship from 11 a.m. You can also connect with us via Facebook, Exchange Church Belfast, Twitter at Exchange Church, Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, or our website, exchangechurchbelfast.com. It would be great to hear from you. Now over to this week's talk.
So it's interesting. Our wee Sophie is five, and she, at Christmas, kids have an awful way of showing you up, don't they? Oh, Lord above. And so our kids, they had a great Christmas. And it was fun and all the rest of it. And you know those moments where we did Christmas? Can I just say I cooked Christmas dinner? Give me a big amen. Look at that. And my family lived it, all you doubters. Listen, I did. I've been married for 20. What's that? All the men going, oh, what? I've been married for 20 years and never cooked a Christmas dinner because I have the most wonderful mother in the world. And but my dad was quite sick before Christmas. And so my mum, sort of jokingly, you know, this is, just be careful what you say. I jokingly said one day, oh, Ma, do you know what you should do? You should come to our house for Christmas. And she went, that'll be lovely, son. I was like, oh, no, hold on. I didn't actually mean it. And she went, oh, that's great. Now I'll give you a wee hand of the shopping. And I was like, oh, my word. And I had to go home to Penny and go, Penny, we're in trouble. 20 years, never cooked a turkey. And so I got my mum to get me one of those legless turkeys. You know the ones you can buy, not legless turkey, but you know the ones, the bit, a legless turkey. That's the one. Okay, the really uncomplicated turkeys, right? Those ones with no legs and funny bits. So you just bung it in the oven. But my mother did that. And the rest of it was awesome. And so we did Christmas together. That was fun. And then what happens is that the rest of the family gather on Boxing Day and we all get together. And it's that bit where the aunts and the uncles get to give presents to all the kids. Now, Sophie, flipping Nora, you know, it's that moment of, and because Sophie's loud, Hope's kind of gentle and soft. Ben's a teenager, hardly speaks. And so that sort of stage, you know, too cool for everything. But Sophie's just loving life. But she has this thing about when you buy her clothes, right? Where, you know, it's like you feel it. And Sophie started to say, oh, no, it's not clothes, is it? And you're like, oh, seriously? So, I mean, how did we ever bring you up this way? Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, and you're nipping her very gently without trying to leave a mark, you know, by going, say thank you. Say thank you, Auntie Anne. She goes, I don't want it. It's clothes. And you're like, oh, my word. Isn't it? Does anyone else, kids, do that? Or is that just mine? Okay, buy me a present, but don't buy me clothes. And she rolls the eyes, and all, oh, it's more clothes. Oh. And I'm going, thank you, Auntie Al, that's wonderful. She loves it. She loves her jeans and whatever. And Sophie's like, whatever, throwing them away and playing. And then what's interesting is not only that, you know, in all of the stuff that they got this year, do you know what was really incredible? My mum bought one of the kids like a wee book, like a book, like a notebook, nothing in it, a flipping Pound World notebook. Right? And we had World War 17 over the notebook. I didn't get a notebook. This is Sophie again. I got clothes and I want a notebook. It's like, but Sophie, you got all this stuff. Look, it's amazing. I know, but I want a notebook. She got a notebook. It's like, Pound World's closed. It's Christmas Day. I don't care. I want a notebook. It's just like, all she could see was what she didn't have. In the middle of everything that she had, the only thing this wee one locks into. All right? I totally blame her mother. I have no idea what she does all day with that child. Because, and I could only say that because Penny's just down to do kids this morning, all right? But isn't it interesting for me? I want this. I've got all this, but I want this. And what I really want to encourage you about today is that one of the things that I am tired of in my life is being defined by lack, all right? It's interesting that in all that I have, in a conversation actually with Penny about something else, we were talking about church, and I just said, can we just stop for one moment? Because in our lives, what we continually do is we talk about what we do not have or that which is lacking. And therefore, we are defining ourselves in that way. Does anyone? Yeah. Oh, please talk to me, yeah? Now, why do we do that? Because so much of my time and energy, I realized even in a time of blessing for me in 2017, was spent measuring, calculating, kind of working out actually the gaps and not the abundance. Yeah. I had this moment over Christmas of going, God, I am sick of this. This is no way to live. Jesus, the name above all names. Yeah, and the thing that the Lord started to impress upon me again is when you look to Jesus, there is superabundance. And I was really encouraged in myself to go, I've got to get this one right again. I had a great 2017. You know, I started to see, though, in my heart, as I, you know, it's kind of when you come off the conveyor belt of going at a million miles an hour, I started to see the bits in my own heart where I felt, I'm going to unpack this a little bit, because it's not just that, you know, there's lack. It actually defines how you relate to God and how you relate to others. It's actually pretty, it's actually quite fundamental when you define yourself by that which is not. And I see how that has outplayed in my life in 2017. I feeling a demand, okay, with the Lord where there's oversupply. Now, something needs to change there for me, personally. Do you get that? Because he's a superabundant God, a God of oversupply. I'm going to talk about that today. Yet I can still feel a demand on my shoulders. And the Lord started to speak to me and say, look, you know what? Even in 2017, I have a business that I run on the side. We were super blessed. In fact, 2018, even way more blessed than 2017, and 2018's only just started, you know? In fact, I don't have to do any, all the work that I need is already in. That's super abundance, okay? Yet I define myself in terms of what I don't have. And the Lord's going, no, hold on. Can we talk about this, Andre? And it's, when the Lord speaks to me that way, I kind of, it goes round and round in my head for a while, it sits in my heart. I find myself thinking about it and talking to myself in the car, looking like that weird guy, and but having a great conversation with myself about why, what is it in me? Because what I felt the Lord, and I want to encourage you with it, because this is, it's not a big wham, bam, big V for vision and all that sort of stuff, right? Okay? It's about actually simply going, in 2018, it's out of my heart that I will live. So where's my heart pointing? What's my heart position? And the Lord really impressed me that on me to go. And so I wanted to share it with you, because the crazy thing for me is that it's not just that God blesses, because what I actually found myself going into and looking back and going, that's brilliant. But what I found myself even looking into 2018, where in the natural, somebody looking in would go, that's pretty good. The Lord has super blessed you in a number of years to get to a position where you start a business, and for us, we can make a decision to go, right, draw a line, we don't need any more. That's good, isn't it? I'm saying that to encourage you to go, if he can do it for me, the numpty, he can do it for you, all right? But it's also to go, I find myself actually going, can I believe that in leaving 2017, that I can go from grace to grace in 2018? Do you know that kind of sense of, that was really good, but oh my goodness, is it going to run out? Like you almost don't want to believe for more, because you go, well, flip, that was good enough, and something in your heart almost goes, well, if I could just have 2017 again, that would be awesome. Because God, I'm kind of, I love this and I don't want to leave it, because if I go into 2018, I can't. There's no guarantee that it's going to be as much blessing and as much goodness. Has anyone ever felt that, or is it just me that sometimes look forward and you go, oh, flip, hold on a second. Yeah. Okay, because I'm not feeling like a Christian right now when I go, absolutely, brother. We float on a cloud of glory. And so the thing that I want to encourage you about today is when you look to Jesus, there is overabundant supply for your life. Overabundant supply. In fact, Philippians 4:19, Paul, when he was writing, said, and my God shall supply, my God shall supply how many of your needs? Come on, talk to me. How many? All, not some, not most, not 80%, not 90%. And what does he meet them according to? Your work and your effort? No? Whose glory and whose riches? Okay. And so when we look at verses like this, I obviously want to unpack it a little bit. The number here is plutos for all of your need. It means a proper abundance, possession of many kind riches. And there's the sense pleo, the root of this word is that it flows and it abounds, all right? And so as I started to just sit on this word, the Lord started to show me to go, look, actually the issue in your heart, Andrew, is where you feel demand. It's the law that brings demand, all right? But it's grace that oversupplies. And grace abounds and flows. It doesn't stop at the end of 2017 and into 2018, then you feel the demand again. Actually, as you rest and you keep Jesus at the center, and there is a flow to all of his riches towards you. Do you get that? No stopping, no things going like this, or no fear around, well, can I go from glory to glory? Absolutely, of course you can. Can I just say this? If you settle this one early in the year and you live in grace, I'm going to talk about what it means to actually live in grace. You will have that sense of flow and abounding in your life. Because when you look to Jesus, there is super abundant supply for every area, all need. Physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, financial, health, whatever it happens to be. I love that. And can I just say this? God, Jesus doesn't have a plan B for your life. How many plans do you have tucked in your back pocket? Okay, a few people smirking going, you've got a few? Who's got more than one, all right? Where a couple of things in the back pocket just in case. How many horses can I back just in case? And one of the things that the Lord impressed upon me over Christmas, it's very simple. I felt it, I heard it dead clearly. I have no plan B for you. And I went, I've plan B for me. And the Lord went, I know, but I don't have plan B for you. I kind of summarized my conversations with Jesus this way. I'm going, no, but I have a plan B. And I don't even know what that is very clearly in my head, but I always have something in my heart where I goes, well, if that kind of goes belly up, I can just, all right? And the Lord going, but I have no, my only plan is favor, said God to me. My only plan is goodness. I don't have another plan. Do you get that? When you come to me and you're in relationship with me and you let me love you, I don't have anything else other than all your needs being met out of my riches. That's it. I don't have something else for you. It's that or it's nothing. It's either you do it and you feel the demand of the law, or I do it and you live blessed and let it flow and abound to you, but keep looking to me and there's abundance of supply. Because I don't have anything else. There's nothing else in my hand. There's nothing else in my pocket for you, Andrew. So what are we going to do about this heart of yours? What do I need to show you again and again? What bit of Jesus do I need to reveal to you of who I am and what I have done so that you live in flow and supply? Amen? And so I got excited about that, and I started to think, Lord, but that's what I want for 2018. I do not want to live defined by the lack. I don't want to be defined by the gaps, but I want to have that heart shift and that heart turn, because in that place, all things are met in Christ. And here's the thing. This is not about, if you're sitting interpreting this going, well, that's awesome. This is just about my needs being met, and this is wonderful. This grace gospel is fantastic. I have no idea what this voice is, but let's move on. All right. I don't know what was happening there. And it's not about that, because what happens is this, okay? Whenever you are defined by lack, it's demand, okay? What you're actually saying is there's a demand on me to supply. Now, when you think about that, when the demand is on you and the demand is on your ability to produce, what happens then? It fundamentally alters how you relate to Jesus, but it also fundamentally alters your relationships around. Whenever you feel demand, when it's about you. And so this is not just about you going, oh yes, bless me, Lord, with all good things in 2018. It's about actually going, there's levels of depth to this, which I think might just be in my own heart, about how I see people, how I work with people, how I relate with people. Because if I feel there is demand in my life to produce and to be the source of the blessing for me, for my family, and for this church, then we're all in trouble. Because it alters our relationship. All of a sudden, I need you. When I don't need you, I need the Lord. You don't need people, you need the Lord, and the Lord blesses you with people to encourage you on your way. It's not just about bless me, Lord, with all nice things. It's about actually, this is how I operate on a wet Tuesday in November when the rain's smashing against the windows and things aren't quite going on my own way. Do you understand? And so in the story, I'm going to just reference a couple of quick stories for you today, because what does it actually mean to live under grace? This is what I'm talking about. And the love of Jesus for me is it's not just one-off hit. The supply of Jesus is not a one-off hit, but I'm really challenging you. What defines you? Are you defined by what you don't have and by your lack? Or are you defined by Jesus? Because when you're defined by Jesus, you'll see flow and overflow, because he always oversupplies, always oversupplies. And this is what it means to live under grace. What does it actually mean? Well, do you know, for me, living under grace simply means this. It means to be constantly aware of God's supply for you in every area, every single need. Spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, every single need met in Christ. That's simply what it means to live under grace and to be aware and to be focused that way. I mean, it's no more difficult than that. How much he loves me. Because when there is a demand, what I'm doing is I'm putting myself back under law. Let's have a look at it. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, we read the story of Mary and Martha. I'm putting this in. I didn't put it up on my slide. So if you've got a Bible, which would be really good, even on your phones, go to Luke chapter 10, all right? And go to verse 38. I'm just going to read, it's a really well-known story, but something jumped out at me over the Christmas break. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not even care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, we know this story, and it's pretty well preached through. But one of the interesting things about Mary and Martha here is that even in the presence of Jesus, what you find was that the thing that jumped out at me was that Mary was able to receive, all right? Because in that moment of being in the presence of Jesus, what she knew that everything she needed was found in him. So she sat at his feet, and she was able to receive. Now, Martha, on the other hand, as we know, it was interesting that even God, even Jesus himself in the house, became a demand for her. He's hungry. He's tired. He needs to be fed. He needs to be looked after. And all of a sudden, and the Lord speaks right into her and goes, "You know why you're stressing out about all these other things? It's because you haven't seen this one thing." Have a look at Mary here and go, there was something in the heart of Mary that went beyond the demand to go, "His grace supplies. So I am prepared to sit at his feet and allow him to love on me. And I am not going to feel..." God wasn't a demand to her. Jesus wasn't a demand. Do you understand that? But actually, Martha had a demand mentality. Something was demanded of her, even from God. And Mary went, no, I just sit at his feet. And because I sit... And actually, the Lord goes, "No, but that's what you're meant to do." And the fact is, we stress out. If I was to paraphrase Jesus' words, you stress out about all the other stuff because you don't know how to sit at his feet and look at him and let his supply come your way. That's why you're tired. That's why work is not fulfilling. That's why you constantly worry about 6 months from now, can I pay the bills? That's why it's, will I be well? And the Lord said this morning is, when you look at me, all the supply is there and it flows and it abounds. But if you can't do this one thing, then that's why everything else feels like demand to you. Real simple, isn't it? But yet so difficult and so profound in another way. And I love that principle of grace, which is simply being aware of God's constant supply. Because that the principle of the law that demands is that we do, and it demands from us that which we can never give. But when we look at Jeremiah 31:33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. Now listen to the emphasis. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sins no more. I love this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is just a picture of going, when I keep my eyes and my focus and my attention on you, you supply everything that I need. And it's backed up by, that's living in grace. God saying, I will. I found myself even coming into this year going, what do I need to do? What's on me? The demands on my shoulders. And the Lord going, no, you're defining yourself by what you have to do and what you're lacking. And I'm going, no, you don't need to do that anymore, says the Lord. I will. And I find myself relaxing. Probably the second week of my holidays, actually starting to go, that's good. Martha was distracted with so much serving. She says, Lord, you don't even care. Tell her to help me. Martha, even with Jesus in the house, is distracted by many things because she doesn't do the one thing. Even, just be careful that this year, it's that picture of even being in the presence of Jesus, you can still live in demand. That's the point. That's what that story tells us. She's running around and she's serving Jesus, but we run around and serve lots of things. We serve our actually, the biggest thing that we serve is our fear and our insecurity, because we haven't learned to rest at the feet of Jesus in this one thing. So most of the serving and the demand in our life flows from that place of defining ourselves by lack. Does that make sense? I would want to be more like Mary and go, you know, I think Mary understood that the presence of Jesus in her life, him being there physically, for us, it's the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus revealed through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, that his presence was my supply and is my supply. I, last year, started to do some work in a company. And through a number of things, a number of situations happened, and I just felt the Lord go, walk away from it and don't do any more. And because there was a number of complications that I had this sense of the Lord saying, just leave it. Don't push it, don't force it, don't try. But thinking, actually, I'd done a lot of work in here, and it's a good relationship that I had, but I just had to, last January, actually just go, I need to set this on the back burner and walk away. Doesn't make any sense in the natural, because in the natural, what you would do is you would go, well, I have a need. Our business has a need. We need to push through. We need to fight through. We need to elbow in. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. Stop. Listen to me. Put your eyes on me, and there will be a constant flow to you. Now, after about 6 weeks, that business contacted me again and said, can you have a chat? Because the other thing's not working out, and we want you to do some work. And went in to see them, and over the course of this year, I've done tons of work, and into 2018, even more work coming from the same supply. But I honestly believe that today we're standing in that place because of a moment 12 months ago where the Lord went, you either run around with the demand to make this work, or you sit at my feet and see my constant flow and supply. That's my testimony to you this morning, okay? Because in the moment of sitting down, I felt panicked. I felt like, oh my goodness, this is all going to go wrong. I had the little gnawing doubt on my shoulder going, you need to get in here. And, you know, the Lord will open the doors. But actually listening to the Holy Spirit go, walk away and let me show you my supply. And 12 months later, we've basically got the thing sewn up, to be quite honest. Now, the interesting thing about that is for me, is when it's the supply of Jesus in your life and the presence of Jesus, if you've got to work really hard to provide it, you've got to work really hard to sustain it. But when he supplies it, he sustains. And that was the lesson for me in 2017. And so it's like what the Lord says, is like, I've already met all of your needs. Will fundamentally change how you see me and how you relate with other people. Because when you live in demand in yourself, you also demand of other people. And then they disappoint you. And you live in that place of feeling constantly disappointed. Because the same demand that's in you, you expect it from others. But the Lord said to me very clearly, if I give this to you, I'm going to constantly flow it. You provide it, you look after it yourself. Oh, that's not hard. That's just the Lord going, you know, there's your choice. And this year, and over this year, actually seeing, being constantly surprised by the flow of God in our lives personally, and going into this year with the flow continuing, but it's the Lord just going, but the thing is, I gave it to you in the first place. I remember having this conversation with David a couple of years ago, and not even understanding that fully in my own life, but seeing it more and more. And if I can really encourage you today, that if you will take that time to rest in the presence of Jesus, to rest and to allow him, just to fill your heart and your mind. Take steps out of business. I was chastising somebody yesterday. Can I be real honest? Can we get nitty gritty about social media? Honestly, some of you just need to wise up. It's a con. You're the product. See, when you don't have to pay for something, it's because you're the product. Hello. And I listened to something before. Now, I'm not anti-social media, right? I'm definitely not, but I really think, I listened to something on Radio 4, because I'm dead old and boring, before Christmas, about one of the top executives from Facebook, actually. and how they planned 10 years ago to program people's minds with chemical reactions, dopamine. Click it, love it, click it, love it, click it, love it. And they get people hooked. And he's now, he was speaking at a graduate business school in the States, so he's a high flyer in Stanford. And he was then saying, you know what, people, you need to be careful, because we planned this, but we had no idea of the effect that it would really have. It's almost like run out of our hands and control. Okay? Now, it's not a big scary mind control thing. I'm just simply trying to encourage you to go, if I asked you how much time you spent at the feet of social media versus at the feet of the Lord who loves you and constantly supplies, look, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to provoke the question to go real life. I was out yesterday with someone. We went on a missions trip to Dublin, and that worked out well. Oh, Jesus, we need help. And we went on a missions trip to Dublin, and we were handing out tracts in Paddy Collins' pub, and we singing songs of worship. And I'm such a liar. And so we were in Dublin, and I just noticed, and we made a bit of a joke of it, but I think what happens is you pick that thing up and you flick, and you probably don't even realize how many times you do it, but it forms you, it shapes you. As the great prophet Paul Jordan from Newton Arts once said, I wish I had my Facebook life, because when I look at my Facebook life, it's awesome, but it doesn't kind of measure up to what I live. I'm kind of quoting you. But I'm trying to go in real life. You know, yesterday I found myself going, put that down, get off that. Because it forms and it shapes, it molds, constant comparison, constant living in that sense of what are they doing, do they like? I put a photo up, they don't like it, I feel hurt. You know, why didn't I get as many likes as them, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I'm not being a nerdy kind of railing against the world, because actually it's quite useful, but I'm just asking the question, does it serve you or do you serve it? Right? Because actually, that to me was a big breakthrough in the last 6 months of my life, when we binned Facebook and we binned other things. And actually, even for Penny and I relating together, so much better. Clear heads, clear minds, no distraction, and actually clearing up the time. And it would frighten you if I was to show you, actually with Josh McCauley, I had a conversation with him back in May, and he put an app on his phone because we were talking about how much time this thing, and he didn't believe how much time he was on it, but I remember having a conversation and going, mate, you're on it all the time. And he put an app on which actually showed how much time he spent, and it scared the life out of him. And so I think he became a Christian at that point and fell on my feet. And no, he didn't. But I'm just trying to encourage you to go, because one of the ways that you will define yourself by lack is by looking at these crappy windows into, false windows into the world, and comparing yourself against them. Do you get that? And therefore you define yourself by these, you know, and all it does is it reinforces your fear about where you're missing it. That's what I'm trying to say. And so if you clear that out of the way and allow the Lord some time and space in your life, what you'll find is flow starts to come. Abundance starts to come. Because defining ourselves by lack and the gaps in our life is it comes out as many different ways. And I just want to, and some of you probably will go, it's not a problem for me. I just look at it every now and again. Okay, well, just switch it off, delete it off your phone, and don't look at it until this time next week. Let's see how you get on. Some of you will be climbing the flipping walls, all right? Rabid, big wide eyes by next week going, what's happening out there? What are they doing? What am I missing out on? Can I just say, you're missing out on nothing. It's all just whatever, all right? But I'm trying to be kind of practical this morning to go, for me, that's what it looks like. Sometimes we have to make a choice, and we have to go, look, I'm either going to choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow him to flow to me, or I'm going to allow everyone else to define me, reinforce my own fear and insecurity, because that's what social media does. Not many people come away from social media feeling brilliant. It's like eating McDonald's. Kind of nice at the time, but you come away going, hungry after a wee, or is that just me? You know what I mean? The way you have a Big Mac, and like 20 minutes later, you're still hungry. Yes, thank you. Come on, let's be honest. And not that I eat Big Macs, as you can see, but But then you come to Jesus and he says, I'll give you something that you'll never thirst again. I go, really? Feed for me and you'll not be hungry. So it's just a challenge. Is that okay? There's no law and there's no demand for me because you're all big enough and ugly enough to make your own decisions. But all I'm saying is, for me, it made a huge difference in my life to make that point to go, I'm taking this away so that I get more. And you know what? Over months, because it was over months, I found myself getting into that place of instead of flicking on the phone, picking up my book, picking up my Bible, and I sound awful spirit. I don't mean that, but it's just the truth. When I took something else out, the effect was so much more wide-ranging than what I ever thought it would be. It affected me in more ways than what I actually cared to imagine. So my challenge is, if you want to sit at the feet of Jesus and not be distracted by all of these things, then all of these things, some of them just need to go. Oh, don't look at me like that, some of you. Deleted. Amen. Amen. Come on. That's it. Just come up and dump your phones up here. Get them on eBay quick, you and me. Yeah, just the Lord saying, dump your phones, iPads, Macs. Isn't that right, Samuel? I'll pray over them and heal them, and then you'll get them back sometime. No. Get rid of it. Amen. Well, it needs to happen. I think the question you need to ask yourself is, when it comes to the demand in your life, you know, is it coming towards me or is it coming from me? Is it coming towards me or is it coming from me? And my heart really for this church in every way in 2018 is that we see the blessing of God and the favor of God and the fullness of God, all of your needs being met as it comes towards you and not coming from you. Let me just finish with a couple of things. Grace always oversupplies. I love the fact that when you think about Jesus, he always walked with this consciousness. He never walked with a lack mentality. He never walked with a gap mentality. You know, in the feeding of the 5,000, you know, I was in Israel recently, and we went up that mountain. Might have mentioned it once or twice. And you can see how the Lord was clearly conscious of heaven's supply all the time. When Jesus sees the wee boy with the 2 loaves and the 5 fishes, unlike his disciples, he didn't see the impossible demand placed on him. Isn't it amazing that there's a huge demand placed on Jesus at that time? You probably think you've got huge demands with family, work, and everything else. Now, think about Jesus, probably 20,000 people. They come to him, all eyes on him. And what does he do? What does he model out for us today? You know, the disciples freak out. Where are we going to do, get all this? Now, when you go up the mountain where this actually happened, you can see it as it overlooks Galilee. It is a long way down. It's about an hour and a half's walk back down to the Sea of Galilee. I've done it a couple of times now. And so the truth of it is, it wasn't just that they were freaking out. They literally had no other option because they're up a mountain, which is massive. And all the villages are down below. And so what you find in that moment, with 20,000 hungry people, nothing but a small boy's lunch, what did Jesus see? Did he see the gap? No, he didn't. He saw the supply every single time. We've got to turn this around in our lives because, you know, on the other hand, that you see Jesus sees supply, the disciples see lack. You know, it bothered the disciples so much, they were just going to send everyone home hungry. Nobody's going to get fed. And they were so concerned that they didn't have enough food for everyone, and they didn't have enough money to buy food. But because Jesus saw the supply in his Father, what did he do? I prayed it this morning. He gave thanks to God. Eucharisteo is the word that he says. Eucharisteo simply means this: your grace works well. That's simply what charis, grace, is the root word of the word to give thanks. Eucharisteo in Greek. And so what he simply does is this. Instead of demand and law, he simply goes, what I have, I am so grateful for. And I looked to God and he says, he lifts his head up and he says, your grace works well. And boom, what happens? Flow and abounding provision. In that moment. And it's exactly the same for you and me. He's modeling something out for us. Pause about that and think for a moment. You know, if all the people, what was interesting is not only were the people fed, not only were their needs met, but there were also 12 baskets left over. It actually says that, you know, it's an incredible miracle. He says they were all able to eat until they had had enough. Is that what it's like for you? Do you eat until you've had enough? I'm not talking physically. but with the blessing of God. It's almost this sense of there is overabundant supply for you. God doesn't stop when you've just had enough. There was so much left over, but it says they all ate their fill. So they had eaten and taken enough, and the Lord went, but you know what, there's still more. I mean, is that your view of Jesus this year? Is that your view? Are you going to measure the gaps and keep cutting your cloth to meet? What's it going to be? Because in my life, I kind of go, look, you know, I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place where anytime I face a situation with nothing but loaves and fishes in my hand, that my heart and my mind is saturated with the largeness of God and his constant supply towards me. Because when I'm constantly amazed by that and focused on that, it causes me to rest and stop trying to provide for myself and let his flow come to me. Does that make sense? Every single time. Every single time. Grace always supply. Let me just show you this to finish. In Hebrew, you see, why can we say and be confident that God's abounding oversupply will always be met as you keep your eyes on Jesus? Well, in Hebrew, the word for father is Aleph Bet, okay? So Hebrew reads the wrong way around. So we start at that side and we go that way, okay? In case you're going, it doesn't say that. But you see Aleph Bet. Remember I talked about Aleph Taf before Christmas? Well, Aleph Bet, it's a picture here of an ox in the house. So it's about strength in the house. It's about leadership and all the rest. But this is the word for father. So when we look at father, we see Aleph and Bet, okay? Or Vet, depending on what kind of Hebrew you're reading. Now, how can you be absolutely sure that this message of God's grace, all right, will constantly supply in your life? Well, all we have to do is when we take the word for father in Hebrew, this is where there's so many layers to the Lord, it's just incredible. All right? When we take hey, which is, can you remember hey? Hey. I'm not going hey, it's actually a word. The fifth word of the Hebrew alphabet, gematria, it's five. What's five, the number of? Five's the number of grace. Okay? There's, guess what the word for love is in Hebrew? You take the word for father and you put grace right in the middle. So let's just show you that, okay? So here we have ahava, which is the Hebrew for love. Now, love always gives, okay? But all we do is we take father and the root of the word, the three words that make up ahava, okay, are aleph, hey, bet. Simply take grace, put it into the heart of the father, and you have love. Cool. Now, what does love do? Love always gives. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you see that? At the very center of the heart of father is grace, and grace causes him to love. That's how you can know that there's no plan B. Whenever I say that the Lord said to me there's no plan B, it's because I was looking at this. Because we say theos este agape in Greek. But actually written, hardwired into the Hebrew from the very beginning was father, grace in the middle, coming to love. It's actually who he is. See, when I say he's got no plan B, it's not like he can do something different, because in his name, in God himself, there is grace which leads to love. Nothing else. Nothing else. But I cut myself off whenever I put me in the place of meeting the demand. And I've thought, it's not lovely. Aleph, hey, bet. Love. Ahava, if you're speaking Hebrew. And I found myself, and that's what somebody did ask me, what's the name of this talk? It's all like squiggles on Facebook. But you wouldn't know because you're not on Facebook. But on Facebook, we had put up for other people this expression. Ahava, all right? And it just contains, I think, I love it, that the actual name of God contains this beautiful truth. That's fundamental. Do you know what the fundamental thing when it comes to agape, the father here, all right? Because Abba is rooted in this word as well. Okay, that intimate word for God. Is that what is fundamental to loving is giving. Do you get that? What is absolutely fundamental to love is to give. And that's the heart of Father. That's why he says all your needs being met. Because it's who I am. So he says just rest. Don't stress about all that other stuff. Just learn to sit here. And it flows and it abounds. Now, Why am I saying this at the very start of September? September, is it? What? January. January. Help him, Jesus. All right? Is I just want to encourage you with one last story. I said, I think if we get this right, everything else comes. Think about when you reflect over your last 12 months, as good as they may have been, okay, or challenging or whatever. Think about understanding 12 months from now, or 6 months from now, or 3 months from now, what it would be like to be completely at rest, knowing that every day that you wake up, every need is being met, and his supply, constant supply, is flowing in your life. What would that be like for you? Wouldn't that be cool? Waking up not thinking about the gaps and the lack, not thinking about what do I have to cut and what do I have to measure, what do I have to weigh out, pour out, what do, in order for this to happen, does it, but just actually to wake up as a son or as a daughter and go, hey, Aleph, hey, Bet, the Father loves me, his grace supplies. Wouldn't that be cool? I tell you, for me and Penny, that's our heart for us. I'm just being real personal. To go, I want every demand that I feel in my life removed, because there's no demand, there's only supply. And I promise you, that's where my heart is focused, and I want to encourage you to do the same, because it fundamentally changes everything. And here's my last encouragement to you, all right? Whenever you sit like that, whenever you rest like that, you will always find that he supplies more than whatever you thought you needed in the first place. Every time. Because he's not just a God who meets needs, he oversupplies overabundantly. We see it in the 5,000, but just one picture that I leave you with. In Luke chapter 6, I was reading about this, that the thing about Jesus, when he gives, because Father with grace at his heart always leads to love, and the essence of love is to give, what he does is he overgives. Because in Luke chapter 6, you read the story of a man with a withered hand and how Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. Let me leave you with this story. When everyone else saw the hopelessness of the situation, because this guy's hand was withered, right? How do you heal it, number one? Because it was all kind of wasting away. Jesus, again, doesn't see the lack. He sees the supply of heaven to make the man whole. That's the first thing. And what was interesting was that losing the use of a hand in those days affected his ability to make a living. There's no social services, etc. And when a person really can't make a living, what happens is he can't provide for his family. There's a lack of respect from others, even his loved ones. But it's interesting, when Jesus heals the hand, actually what he was doing is he was giving him back his whole life. Do you get that? It's almost like he meets the need here, but the need was much more wide-ranging than just looking at a hand. Can I promise you this? Because in healing the hand, he gave him back his dignity. He gave him back the ability to create wealth. He gave him back his position in the village, in the town. He gave him back his ability to provide for his family, all because he heals a withered hand. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We look and we see this, and Jesus looks at the whole and goes, I will oversupply. It's actually sometimes, you know, sometimes I think about this, is that whenever I feel the need to provide, okay, this is something the Lord showed me because I run a business. I felt like the need in my life is to be loved, ahava, okay, to allow the Holy Spirit to show me that. Because what I actually saw in my own life was this, was that whenever I wanted the Lord to meet my needs in terms of how we live as a family, he actually showed me that my greater need was to be loved. That's what was missing. And in meeting my need of provision in my business, he was simply showing me that I was loved and worth it. Do you get that? It wasn't just about meeting my needs. What the Lord has been doing in us over this year is going, as I'm meeting that, the greater need in your life is to rest as a son who's loved. That stuff there, whatever. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so as the Lord has poured in into one area of our lives, actually the effect that I have found, and I didn't see it this time last year, was that I have found more grace in every other area of my life. Because when he meets a need in one area, he oversupplies into areas that you never thought were there. But it's part of our healing and part of our starting to reflect him in all of his fullness and glory. So can I be really encourage you that when you sit and don't be distracted by all these other things, but you sit there not only will you find abundance of supply just for what you think it is, but it will permeate much further into your life into ways that you probably don't even see right now. Because that's what Aleph Hey Vet does. At the very heart, love giving. I hope that encourages you today. I've taken it quite slowly, partly because my voice is just about to go. All right, because I was preaching so hard yesterday in Dublin. And do you believe me? No. And next week I'm going to start a series and we're going to weave in bits of our vision the whole way through. So rather than go, this is our vision, I'm going to talk about it week on, week out, week in, week out. But I really wanted to encourage you today to find rest early in the year. Because it's the ramifications of living in demand are much more than what you think they are. It affects everything. Relationships, family, kids, the whole lot. But living as a son and as a daughter at the feet of Jesus, in his presence, not feeling demand but seeing supply, will go further into your life than what you ever thought. And remember, it's because there's nothing else that he can do. Because his names tell us who he is, and grace in the middle of Father is love. Ahava. Isn't that lovely?